In pursuit of Hamas, Israel forces are pushing into southern Gaza, where tens of thousands of displaced Palestinians are seeking refuge from the bombardment. As the civilian death toll mounts, our next guest says Israel's military is using artificial intelligence to expand its list of targets in the Gaza Strip to include private homes, residential towers, and other public buildings. Let's bring in Israeli investigative reporter Yuval Abraham, whose latest report for 972 magazine and the news site Local Call is titled A Mass Assassination Factory Inside Israel's Calculated Bombing of Gaza. Yuval, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, posted on its website that it was using an AI-based system called, in English, the Gospel, in the war against Hamas to, quote, produce targets at a fast pace. Can you tell us what exactly this AI system is?
Yes, sure. According to sources that I've spoken with for the investigation, one thing that this AI system does is that it generates targets for bombing at what sources described was an almost automatic rate. And one thing that it does, for example, is that it facilitates a mass assassination campaign that is directed against senior and junior Hamas operatives, while often using a practice of dropping a bomb on homes of these people in a way which knowingly kills not only the operatives, but tens and sometimes hundreds of civilians who are around them. Now, this was developed first in 2019 in a place called the Target Center, which was aimed at using artificial intelligence to automate large parts of the target creation process. And sources who have served there have told me, and this appears in the investigation, that the emphasis, what they were being judged on, was not on the quality of the targets, but the quantity of the targets, out of a belief that if you strike a lot of targets simultaneously, that creates a certain shock effect.
And I do want to ask you a little more about this system and, you know, the impact that it's having. But you did mention the many sources that you spoke to, many anonymous sources, former and current Israeli intelligence officers. Why would they not go on the record with you?
Well, primarily because I think they are afraid, because they know that obviously when sources that are dealing with sensitive information approach journalists, and especially sources that are currently in the military, that is something that could put them at risk. I think a lot of them still wanted to speak to me, even though some of them are still engaged in the war, because they felt a lot of the aspects of the war were wrong, were disproportionate. Some of them felt guilt for hurting a lot of civilians in Gaza. You know, even one of them told me that they think that this particular war policy, not only is it, you know, killing so many civilians in Gaza, it's also not really helping Israelis to be secure. And they thought it had a lot more to do with creating a certain image of victory for the Israeli public. So I think these are some of the reasons they spoke. And of course, to protect themselves, they did not want to go on the record.
And just so our listeners know, as an Israeli journalist, are you subject to the military census so that everything you publish has to be vetted by the military?
Yes, it's a very good point. I am. So everything that I'm telling you had to go through the Israeli military censor. Now, that does not mean that they approve of what I'm saying or that, you know, they reply in any way, but it has to go through the censor. Yes, they have to vet it that it's not hurting Israeli state security.
And you also gathered information that was kind of sitting in plain daylight, you know, whether it's statements by current military officials or things published on the websites, maybe in Hebrew, that English-speaking media don't. Tell us a little bit about your process of reporting this, because there's, you know, that a mass assassination factory will strike some as a very big claim.
Yeah, I mean, so just to say about that, other pieces of information, for example, you know, on the fifth day of the war, the military spokesperson released a message saying that the military has bombed more than 1,000 power targets. They released it in Hebrew, and that half of the targets that were bombed were power targets. So according to sources that I've spoken with who in previous operations either planned or bombed power targets, they say that power targets are mainly residential high-rise buildings that are being bombed in Gaza previously while evacuating all the families from the building, so not killing anybody, but destroying all of the apartments in the building. Not for the military target that is in the building, but in order to place civilian pressure on Hamas. One source said that it gave residents in Gaza feeling that Hamas is not sovereign there, that the leadership is losing control. And I've heard this from three independent sources. In this operation, there has been a record number of these non-military power targets. It is unclear to me if the same evacuation protocols, because in the past the idea was to destroy the apartments, not kill anybody, if the same evacuation protocols were in place now, when in 5 days more than 1,000 were bombed, not 9 power targets.
So is the claim then that AI is developing and signaling or finding more potential targets in a quicker amount of time than human intelligence could possibly do it?
Yes, of course, because if you think about Gaza, you know, Gaza is under Israeli control. Israel controls the airspace, the land, the population registry. When a baby is born in Gaza, in order to get an ID and a passport, the military has to authorize that. They control the population registry. This control creates an ability for Israel to have vast amounts of intelligence information on Gaza and on the West Bank. Now, when you have huge clouds of information, even if you have 10,000 Israeli intelligence officers, they cannot create targets for assassination or for bombing from all of that information on their own. And this is one reason why the military is using artificial intelligence to generate those targets. This trend to place an emphasis on the quantity of the targets and not the quality of the targets is not only leading to mass civilian death in Gaza, but it also places big question marks, number one, on the military value of specific targets, because when you generate targets at such a fast rate, and that Center for AI Target Generation has already generated in this operation 12,000 targets, according to the military, soldiers are somewhere in the loop, but they don't have a time to go deep into each target. And also, as I said, soldiers speak about it as something that is also intended to create deterrence, that to create this shock effect in Gaza, an image of destruction. So these are some very, you know, big question marks and worrying signs. Of course, when we see the civilian death toll, then that perhaps explains some of it.
Absolutely. It's been an unprecedented number of civilian casualties in Gaza. I wonder if you can just leave us by telling us about your friend, the Palestinian journalist Ahmed Al-Nauk, whose home was bombed by the Israeli Air Force, and he lost his entire family, 21 people.
Yeah, for me, this was perhaps the hardest moment of the past 2 months. You know, I was shocked. Like, his family, his father is 75 years old. He was the oldest person who was killed in the house. The youngest person is a two-year-old baby. None of them, of course, militants. And to me, you know, I really urge that there will be a permanent ceasefire and that we will deal with the core political issues of this conflict.
When you look at the killing of Ahmed Al-Nauk's entire family, 21 people, there's UN data that shows for the period up to just November 11th, which is now, you know, 3 weeks ago, by that point, Israel had killed over 11,000 Palestinians in Gaza. And that UN data shows there were 312 families that had lost 10 or more people. And you compared that to an operation by the IDF from 2014, where just 20 families in Gaza lost 10 people or more. That's a massive difference, 20 families then to 312 now. And I'm just wondering, do you link that directly to the use of AI, gathering the intelligence?
Definitely, according to sources, again, so not in all cases. Ahmed's family, for me, there is no apparent reason to bomb his family. None of them are militants. But sources have told me that through the use of AI, as I said, they are mapping out these homes for assassination. And what that means is, just so you know, listeners understand, the military drops a bomb that weighs a ton on a house. Okay, so they're not only assassinating, you know, one person who is in the house, but they're essentially killing that person through the bodies of the neighbors in the house, the children in the house. Again, according to sources in intelligence that I've spoken with, there is no military activity conducted in the houses. So those who are assassinated are usually in Hamas's or Jihad's military brigades, but they are at home. And one source said that he did this and he was critical about it. And he said that he thought it was like, when he goes home to his parents, or soldiers go home, IDF soldiers to their parents, a militant group would bomb their home, kill their family and them, and then say that they used their family as a human shield. So that's the equivalent that the source mentions to me.
Israeli investigative reporter Yuval Abraham, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Here and Now.